service.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Disgraceland is brought to you by Disgraceland All Access. Disgraceland All Access membership is your chance to support the show and get ad-free listening, an exclusive scripted episode every month, and exclusive bonus content every week, plus access to an always-on chat with me and your fellow discos. Visit disgracelandpod.com/membership and sign up today. Hey, discos, you can listen to an extended version of this After Party episode by becoming a member of Disgraceland All Access. Just go to disgracelandpod.com/membership for more details and to sign up. Hey guys, welcome to Disgraceland, which is brought to you by Double Elvis. This week we have a brand new episode on Van Halen in the Disgraceland feed. We also have a brand new exclusive episode on Lane Staley of Alice in Chains. Now that is available to our All Access members in our Patreon and Apple subscription feeds. So be sure to make sure you're all signed up for our All Access content, either on Apple Podcasts or on Patreon. And speaking of Van Halen, over in the Shred with Shifty feed, Chris from the Foo Fighters, Chris Shiflett, has a new episode featuring Eddie Van Halen's son, Wolfgang Van Halen. So check that out. That's a Double Elvis production. You're going to want to hear that. All right. After Party. Here we go. Hey, discos. Need a little more Disgraceland in your life? Just a touch to get you through? Yeah, me too. This is the podcast that comes after the podcast. Welcome to Disgraceland, the After Party. Welcome to the Disgraceland bonus episode, a little thing we like to call the After Party. This is the show after the show, the party after the party, the bridge to get you from one full episode of Disgraceland to the other, the backyard to dig into the dirt. On this episode, we are talking about our brand new episode on Van Halen. The sources we used for this episode, which helped us uncover a crazy story about how the band partnered with U.S. Marshals to bust a bootleg merchandise ring. Also, another brand new episode this week, an exclusive episode on Lane Staley of Alice in Chains, available to our All Access members. And of course, your voicemails, texts, DMs, and more. And as always, a whole lot of Rosie. All right, discos, let's get into it. I made my parents buy me a knockoff red Stratocaster from the Sears catalog just so I could hockey tape the shit out of it. The first riff I ever attempted to play on guitar was You Really Got Me, and it wasn't because of the Kinks. First bong hit I ever took was in the backseat of Richie Hoag's shitbox with Eruption bleeding my ears and blowing my mind. Eddie Van Halen made his guitar in that song sound like aliens were landing, and his music made me feel something different, older, dangerous, like a card-carrying member of Teenage Wasteland. Eddie Van Halen was everywhere during my youth, and he deserved to be. He was that good, that inventive, mind-blowing, a fucking beast whose influence is immeasurable. I even secretly like those awful Van Hagar tunes that came later. I still do, but don't tell anyone. Rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen. I wrote those words back in October 2020 when Eddie Van Halen passed away, and I went and dug them up this morning before recording this to remind myself of what Eddie Van Halen has meant to me, not just as a musician, which I barely am anymore, but more as a music listener. It's hard to expect anyone who was not a teenager in the 1970s, the 1980s, or the 1990s to understand the actual importance of Eddie Van Halen. Sure. You can imagine that the guy had a thing, that he was a thing, that he was a guy, okay? You can imagine that he was or is iconic, that sly smile, that wacko, like I mentioned before, hockey tape guitar design, the red strap with the white stripes. Maybe even when you hear him, you start to understand that his sound was unique and that he was this unique player in rock and roll. But to fully understand, I think it's a you had to be there kind of thing. And I'm not trying to sound like the old cool dude. Not that those things can coexist, old and cool. Of course they can. But that's not what I'm trying to do. When we were kids, we would argue about who the greatest living guitar player was. And you almost wouldn't even talk about Eddie Van Halen in the context of that argument because it was a conversation ender. It was just known that he was the best. Sure, you could argue about Angus Young, Steve Vai, or pick your guitar player, whoever else was gracing the pages of Hit Parader that month, but you couldn't choose Eddie unless you wanted to shut the conversation down and, you know, talk about something else, football, or maybe steer the hang toward a game of spin the bottle or something. Eddie Van Halen was truly the best. And Van Halen, the David Lee Roth version, and the Sammy Hagar version were worthy of Eddie's immense talents. They made great music. And in the here and now, a day after the release of our Van Halen Disgraceland episode, as I walk around the world thinking about the band, I find them to be wildly compelling still to this day. They prompt a lot of fucking questions, all right? The obvious one, was Eddie Van Halen the greatest rock and roll guitarist of all time? I put a list of five guitar players together up on Instagram yesterday, and it was like throwing bloody chum into a pool of fucking hammerheads. Everyone has an opinion relative to Eddie's greatness. The five guitarists I listed were Eddie, Hendrix, Jimmy Page, Eric Clapton, and Stevie Ray Vaughan. Now, of course, it's a list. It's subjective. It's just my opinion, man. Actually, it's not even my opinion. I just wanted five guitarists that I thought were universally thought of as being the greatest in rock and roll. Clapton and Stevie Ray Vaughan wouldn't be on my list, but that's not the point. Eddie would be at worst second, and like I said in the post, I can make an argument as to why he could be first. People, of course, were super passionate about their five picks, but almost no one doubted the importance and the placement of Eddie Van Halen on the list, and I can't say the same for any of the others except for Hendrix. That makes my point. Eddie Van Halen, totally unique, not just another great guitar player, one of the greatest, maybe the greatest, definitely in the top two. That's my opinion. Come at me with Jeff Beck all you want, Eddie Van Halen all day, every day over Jeff Beck. Just saying. So, driving around yesterday, admittedly, probably a little too fast, and listening to Dreams by Sammy Hagar, from the Sammy Hagar version of Van Halen, I should say, a song that I hated growing up, but have now somehow found space for. Nostalgia will do that, I guess. But anyways, when listening to Dreams and Best of Both Worlds, I can't believe I'm saying this, and other Hagar tunes, it prompted another question. This one I've yet to ask, and it's this. Is Van Halen the greatest band ever rebound from the departure of their original singer? The contenders, AC/DC, of course, Black Sabbath, Foreigner, I guess Audioslave and Velvet Revolver need to be included in this list, even though they changed the names from Rage Against the Machine and Guns N' Roses. And, you know, Van Halen, I don't know, they prompt this question, and I like that, but better than Dio's version of Black Sabbath? I don't know. Maybe. Certainly a bigger impact, I think, culturally, now that I'm thinking about it. But better than AC/DC, Brian Johnson's AC/DC? Not that I'm saying Brian Johnson's AC/DC was better than Bon Scott's AC/DC, because it definitely was not. But I still think Brian Johnson's AC/DC is better than Sammy Hagar's Van Halen. Now, do we dock Van Halen for the Gary Cherone era? That is the real question. No shade to Gary Cherone, but I mean, come on. All right, another question. This one prompted also while driving around yesterday and listening to Van Halen, but listening to the David Lee Roth era. There are good cover songs and there are great cover songs. To me, good cover songs are fine. There are plenty of them, and sometimes it's just fun to hear a band that you really like mess with the song of another band that you really like. Those are good cover songs. Faith No More covering War Pigs by Black Sabbath. The Beatles covering Anna by Arthur Alexander. The Supersuckers and Steve Earle covering Keith Richards' Before They Make Me Run. These are all perfectly good cover songs. Songs I love. Versions I love. Covers I actually seek out to listen to. But then there are great cover songs. The difference is any musician can learn someone else's song, learn how to play it, and play it well even do it in their own style. But it takes a special musician to record someone else's song and make you forget about the original. Or to be more kind, to record someone else's song and completely turn it into their own, into something totally new and unique, and into something that wouldn't have existed without their hands being on it. Stevie Ray Vaughan's version of Little Wing by Jimi Hendrix is a good cover, but it doesn't take the song anywhere new. Now, Jimi Hendrix's cover of All Along the Watchtower by Bob Dylan made Bob Dylan never want to play his song his way again. He only now plays it Hendrix's way, okay? That's what I'm talking about. I love Roy Orbison, and I love Roy Orbison's Pretty Woman, but Roy Orbison's Pretty Woman doesn't make me feel like I'm in a deleted scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Roy Orbison's Pretty Woman doesn't make me feel like I want to go pound beers up at the tracks with my friends from high school. Roy Orbison's Pretty Woman doesn't make me want to learn how to play guitar. Eddie Van Halen's version of Pretty Woman makes me want to do all of those things, and more, and has since the first time I heard it. And hearing it again yesterday when driving around, it walloped me. That guitar playing, that sound and tone, the harmonies from the band, the incredible charisma from David Lee Roth. In light of the greatest guitar player question we're asking, I gotta ask another super obvious question. Is Pretty Woman the greatest example of a cover being better than the original? If not, let me know what is. 617-906-6638. And while we're at it, also let me know who your number one pick for greatest rock and roll guitar player of all time is. Is it Eddie Van Halen? Is it Jimi Hendrix? Is it, gulp, dare I say, Tom Morello, Jeff Beck, Jack fucking White? It's not, but I just got to throw it out there. Someone else, let me know. 617-906-6638. I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be back in a flash to discuss some of the sources behind this episode and some dude with a red baseball cap. Hey, discos, it's Jake here. Thank you so much for listening to Disgraceland. Your support truly means a lot to me, and it's because of you that my team and I are able to make this show. If you want more Disgraceland, if you want more regular interactions with me and the community of Disgraceland listeners, or if you simply want to listen to the show ad-free, go to disgracelandpod.com/membership. For just $5 a month, you can listen to every episode of Disgraceland ad-free. Plus, you'll get one brand new exclusive episode every month. You'll also get weekly unscripted bonus content, special audio collections, and early access to merch and events. There are two ways that you can support the show and become a member at disgracelandpod.com/membership. You can sign up using Patreon and listen to the show ad-free on Apple, Spotify, and most other major podcast platforms. And Patreon members also get access to all the other perks of membership and an always-on chat where I'll be interacting with you and diving deeper into the world of Disgraceland. But maybe you're currently an Apple Podcast subscription listener and you want to just tap into all the bonus audio content and ad-free listening that we're offering. We're also offering this membership as a premium channel on Apple Podcasts. However you choose to join, all you got to do is go to disgracelandpod.com/membership. Support the show for just $5 a month, $5, or sign up for an annual plan and get 2 months free. Come join me and your fellow discos at Disgraceland All Access by visiting disgracelandpod.com/membership. Hey, discos, jumping in here quickly to tell you about a new giveaway that we put together especially for Disgraceland fans. Listen to this. We teamed up with our friends at Tivoli Audio and D'Angelico Guitar, two legendary brands in audio, to award one of you a prize pack that includes the all-new Tivoli Audio songbook paired with a limited edition D'Angelico electric guitar. The songbook is an incredible vintage-inspired sound system, and you can plug your D'Angelico guitar right into it. It's also got an analog EQ and a 10-hour rechargeable battery so you can take your music and your favorite podcast anywhere. Go to DisgracelandContest.com to see the prize pack and drop your email address to enter for free. Must be a U.S. resident to win. Visit DisgracelandContest.com for full details. That's DisgracelandContest.com. Rock a rolla. All right, let's talk Van Halen sources. There are two primary books that we use for this episode. Remember, this episode focuses entirely on the first incarnation of Van Halen with David Lee Roth as the frontman. Will we do a Van Hagar episode? Will we get back into the later David Lee Roth reunited days? We got to do it. All right, I'm just saying it now, even though like two after parties ago, I said no more two-part episodes, but there's so much more to this freaking band story that, yeah, at some point we will do a part two. I'm sure of it. The first book we used for this episode is called Running with the Devil, A Backstage Pass to the Wild Times, Loud Rock, and Down and Dirty Truth Behind the Making of Van Halen. This was written by Noel Monk. Okay, this guy, you might recognize this name if you just listened to the Van Halen episode we released. Noel Monk features prominently in that episode. He was, at the time, Van Halen's manager. He was first their tour manager, and then he became their actual manager later on. And this book is jam-packed with nutso behavior, crazy shit. It's where we got all the stuff on Van Halen's team going after merch bootleggers with the help of U.S. Marshals, the story about smashing the Black Sabbath fan over the head with a beer bottle, the stuff about the sleazeball manager who taped the pornos and played them for the secretaries at Warner Brothers. And I must clarify right now that was not Noel Monk, who was the manager at the time who did that. Okay, it was another guy that Monk is writing about. And honestly, there were a lot of people on the payroll with very similar titles at the time, so it's easy to get confused. There's also in the history of Van Halen, as I'm sure you know, and I forgive me. No, don't forgive me. I just got to address this. There's lots of childish rock star antics in Monk's book in the past in Van Halen's history, which honestly, you know, it's become a bit of a cliche. So we didn't want to make this episode all about guacamole fights and groupies smeared in ketchup and all that fucking brown M&M bullshit, okay? It's there if you want it. You can get it elsewhere. Our themes for this episode were a little bit different. Themes of innovation, of protecting those innovations, even if it means being ruthless in your defense of your innovation. All that comes from a different book, a book called Eruption, Conversations with Eddie Van Halen, that was written by Brad Talinsky and Chris Gill. Talinsky was the editor-in-chief at Guitar World magazine. Gill was a regular contributor, and for years, decades even, the two of them went up to Eddie Van Halen's 5150 studio to hang out and talk. And this book, Eruption, stems from over 50 hours of unreleased interviews that they recorded before Eddie's death in 2020. It is a great read if you're a fan of Van Halen and a fan of Eddie's playing. If you're into the guitar, you want to get inside the head of one of the greatest guitarists to ever do it, then I highly recommend this. Also sheds light on why, and this is the key thing, why Eddie Van Halen innovated the way that he did. Not only because he didn't have any money, and he literally had to build the guitar, he had to build the thing that he wanted from cheap scraps, but because he was bullied as a kid. Okay, that's something I'm sure we can all of a certain age relate to, when we weren't so protected as children. When we went out into the neighborhood, no matter where we were from, if we ventured beyond those neighborhood boundaries, we got our asses kicked. Some of us even got our asses kicked in the neighborhood. Some of us were from other places with hard to pronounce names and had hard to pronounce names, like Eddie Van Halen, and they were bullied no matter where the fuck they went. A kid moving from Holland to America, he was bullied and humiliated in the outside world, and that drove him inside into his bedroom, where he channeled all of his frustration and complicated feelings into his guitar playing, into building his guitar and his guitar sound. Fascinating stuff. And it comes from this book, Eruption, Conversations with Eddie Van Halen. You're going to want to check that out. I related to this. I know Zeth, who wrote this episode, related to this. This is something I think we can, I was driven inside my room all the time for different reasons, basically because I was a little fuck up and my mom was grounding me all the time. But it drove me straight into books, straight into guitar, straight into music, straight into writing, straight into figure out and making who I am today. So this was very, very relatable to me. Not that I'm comparing myself to Eddie Van Halen. I am, however, comparing myself somewhat to his experiences. I'm sure you guys can as well. I want to know your thoughts on Van Halen. Is Eddie Van Halen the greatest guitar player of all time, like I asked before? Is Pretty Woman the greatest example of a cover being better, exceeding, blowing the original out of the water? And Is Van Halen the greatest band to recover from the departure of their lead singer? I don't think so, but I have to ask. 617-906-6638, voicemail and text to let me know. Just like the 904 with this voicemail.
Good morning, my fellow discos and Jake. Man, the Van Halen episode is the pits. And you broke it right at the right spot. Too much to text and I'm driving, but the you brought up the M&Ms, which is hilarious. That was on their tour rider. And they wanted to make sure that they actually read the tour rider, so they put in ridiculous shit like a bowl full of M&Ms with all the brown ones removed. But yeah, oh man, you broke it at the right place. You know, oh, whose Ferrari is that? Oh, that's Tammy's. Oh, and the page turns. Van Hagar is born. Good stuff, man. Can't wait for the part two. Can't wait for Lane Staley and Alice in Chains. Keep it going. Keep it rolling. Later.
You got it, 904. We can't wait for the part two either. That episode just teed up the part two. We weren't even trying to do that, frankly. It just did it. Glad you picked up on that. Appreciate the call. Drive safe out there, all right? All right, let's check out this voicemail from the 773.
Hey, what's up, man? I love the show. I just wanted to put in a word for a show about HR from Bad Brains. Arrested constantly. I had tickets to see him twice and missed both shows because he was in jail. Recorded Sacred Love from jail, alleged rapist, homophobic, aggravated assault, you name it, schizophrenic. I think it would make a great show. Keep doing what you do. Keep on rolling. Love it so much. And thanks, man.
773, thanks for the show. Thanks for the voicemail and thanks for the episode recommendation. You know, Bad Brains is one of my favorite bands ever. And, like top five of all time. And I know very little about their history. I've read next to nothing. I've never seen them live. I mean, that's not true. I did see them live like 10, 12 years ago, something like that. But it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? I've never seen them live. I don't know a lot about them. Of course, I know about the homophobia, Don't Blow No Bubbles, that song from Quickness. Rapist, never heard that before. I need to look into that, see if that's true. I think I knew that Sacred Love was recorded from jail. And the schizophrenia is new to me. This is all shaping up in my head to be an episode I want to write, and I want to write soon. And Zeth Lundy, please make a note of that. Sounds like something we could get into in a really interesting way. So thank you, 773. I appreciate that. +46 over in Europe writes to us, Steve McQueen. Hey, listening here from Sweden. Maybe it's just because I'm European, but I always felt Steve McQueen was influenced by French actors much more than his native contemporaries. Folks like Yves Montand, Alain Delon. There's some others here. I'm not going to mention them because I'm going to fuck up their pronunciation of their names and I'm going to sound like an idiot. But the texter goes on to say, beautiful, tough guys who sometimes speak louder in silence than words. Love the pod. Stay cool. Is Alain Delon, is that the guy in French Connection? I think it is. I could be wrong. Text back and let me know. And, you know, give me a couple movies here. +46 over in Sweden, if you don't mind. Text me a couple movies from these actors you mentioned that are good starting points. Don't give me a bunch. If just like one each. Like if I want to watch an Alain Delon movie, which one is it? Maurice Rene movie, which one is it? Give me some recs. I would appreciate that. Sarah, texter is Sarah here. She says, love the pod. Stay cool. Sarah, you got it, Sarah. I'll do my best. The 917 writes in, the ads on your podcast make me want to shoot myself. Well, 917, I got to tell you, man. You know, first of all, don't shoot yourself. Do not do that. That's not going to be good for anyone, especially you. Second, there's a solution, and it's a cheap solution. It's an easy one. It's $5 a month. You become an all-access member, and boom, no more ads. All right? Ad-free listening on Apple Podcasts and Patreon. Okay? It's that simple. 617-906-6638 on the text, on the voicemail to hit me up. That's how you do it. And take a quick break. Be right back. All right, we are back. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, in addition to our new episode on Van Halen this week, we also have a brand new episode on Layne Staley of Alice in Chains, and it's out right now. And you can go listen to it right now. But to do so, you got to become a member of Disgraceland All Access. And the good news is that that is super easy to do. Super easy to become a member. Just go to disgracelandpod.com/membership and sign up with the click of a button. $5 a month is all it takes. And it's even less if you sign up for a year. It's going to get you some great perks, like an exclusive fully scripted Disgraceland episode each month, just like this new exclusive episode on Layne Staley that I'm going to preview for you right now. That's right. Check it out. Here's a little taste of what you're missing over in the Disgraceland All Access Club. Man in the Box also helped get Alice in Chains on the Clash of the Titans tour during that same year, opening for Megadeth, Slayer, and Anthrax. But just because Alice in Chains were Seattle heavy, they were not Anthrax heavy. They weren't even Megadeth heavy. Dave Mustaine of Megadeth reminded them of this fact with the posters he had printed up and pasted all over the massive arenas that they played in. Posters of Alice in Chains from years back, hair teased, spandex tight, still spelling their name Alice N. Chains. That's apostrophe capital N. Getting trolled by fucking Dave Mustaine, of all people. That must have stung. But not as bad as the physical violence Alice in Chains endured up on that stage. Hazed by Slayer fans. Fans that did not give a shit for Alice in Chains. N or no N. They pelted them with all manners of subterfuge. Spit on them. Booed them mercilessly. Layne Staley, for one, wasn't just gonna stand there and take it. He started throwing all that shit back at the crowd. And he jumped the barricade and got red in their faces and spat back at them. Layne Staley fought back, fought off the hordes, did well in the process, stood up for himself, and had the last laugh. Or so he thought. After the show, he and the others were greeted by a group of Slayer fans waiting outside their tour bus. Slayer fanatics, that is. And fanatics being the operative word, these dudes were hard. Layne braced himself, ditto for Jerry and the others. No longer protected by the stage, they were about to endure an extreme ass-kicking by a bunch of pissed-off metalheads. Layne and the boys got closer, and the Slayer kids were blocking the entrance to their bus. Lane's pulse quickened. He looked around for some kind of blunt instrument that he could use if shit went the way he thought it was going to. And then, one of the Slayer fans gave the Alice in Chains guys a head nod. "Hey," the kid said, "you guys are all right. You didn't puss out back there." The hardcore Slayer dudes parted and let Alice in Chains get onto their bus. And then it was off to the next stop to do it all over again. To be humiliated, attacked, and ultimately forgiven. A roller coaster of emotions that took its toll on Layne Staley, despite the brave face he put on night after night. And soon, he would need more than just a brave face and a big voice to keep it all at bay. A different kind of coping mechanism. Heroin. All right, that was a clip from our brand new episode on Layne Staley of Alice in Chains, which you can hear right now by going to disgracelandpod.com/membership and signing up for Disgraceland All Access. There's another exclusive episode available for you there as well on Hunter S. Thompson. And every month we're going to be dropping a new fully scripted exclusive episode for members. Basquiat coming up after Layne Staley, Chris Cornell of Soundgarden and Audioslave, of course, Waylon Jennings, and so many more. So you're not going to want to miss this when you go to disgracelandpod.com/membership to sign up for all access. You guys can choose between Apple Podcasts or Patreon. It's going to give you the same perks, but if you choose Patreon, you get an always-on chat. I'm in there. Your fellow discos are in there. We're not just talking about Disgraceland episodes. We're talking about music. We're talking about film. We're talking about what we're doing this weekend, what we're eating, what we're listening to, what we're making, what we're getting up to. Talking all kinds of shit over there the past month, and it's been awesome, and I appreciate those of you who are in there with me, and I just want to open the gates to everyone, okay? I'm not about gatekeeping. That's not what I'm doing. Finally, your all-access membership gets you bonus weekly content as well, an extended version of this here after party every week. You're going to get deeper discussions about the revelations learned in the creation of this week's episode, like the story we uncovered about Eddie Van Halen driving an assault vehicle into Beverly Hills and putting a gun to Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit's head. Come join us in All Access to hear about all of that and more right now. Disgracelandpod.com/membership. Back in a flash. Thank you. All right, let's recap, shall we? Number one, there's more After Party to listen to right now and a brand new exclusive episode on Lane Staley of Alice in Chains. All you got to do is go to disgracelandpod.com/membership and sign up to become an all-access member. But if that ain't your bag, then number two, right now in your feed, a brand new episode on Van Halen. Number three, coming tomorrow, a rewind episode on Snoop Dogg. Four, over in the Badlands feed, we got episodes from the archive on Lana Turner and Joe Namath. Five, next week in the Disgraceland feed, a classic episode for you on Monday, not Tuesday. Number six, my number is 617-906-6638. Call me on the telephone or text me. Number seven, remember, no one cares about the music that you love more than you do, and well, that is a disgrace. And now, my moment of bliss, in honor of this week's episode on Van Halen, me reading you the Pasadena, California phone book from 1926, some 30-something years before Eddie, Alex, and their parents relocated there from their native Holland. Keen. F. 309 West Walnut, Terrace 8474-W. Keenan, EC, Colorado 1655. Keen, Alice, Colorado 1975. Kenny, F. 1226 Stevenson, Niagara 1646. Keeper, Kenneth, Sterling 8063. Keys, H, 379 East Colorado, Terrace 2151-19, Colorado, William, 606 Stevenson, Colorado 0955, Terrace 4703-1063 North Michigan, Niagara 2154-16,
quit talking and start mixing.